Next upon Mark chapter 10 in the Bible, we will consider verses 23 to 27 particularly. Before we do that, let's ask for God's help, shall we? Father, as we now hold the words of life in our hands, we pray that indeed they and you will be life indeed to us. And you will show us the way to forgiveness, your grace and peace and heaven. So assist us now, dear Lord. Arrest our attention, arrest our affections, show us ourself, show us yourself, and help us to surrender. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're looking at camels and the kingdom. And I want to ask you the question this morning, what do you want? Do you want a camel or a kingdom? That may seem a bit humorous, but you'll see why in just a moment. We read in verse 23, following this encounter with this rich man, who was very sincere and very religious, it seems, on the face of it, Jesus says to him in verse 23, after he walked away, he said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Now this young man, this rich young man, sincere religious young man, was obviously quite well off, and he's just gone away, walked away from Jesus. That's unbelievable, I know, but people do that today. They walk away from God. Can you believe that? They walk away from God. They have the words of life presented to them. Maybe you'll do it this morning. Maybe you'll leave this place and you'll go back to what you were doing before, to the old lifestyle, and you'll walk away from God. And yet in his love and grace, he presents to you his truth, his life, his salvation from his word. That's a tragedy that has eternal proportions and serious consequences. But this man walked away from God because Jesus had said to him, okay, you've ticked all the boxes, and that's fairly, not too much religion passes for these days, box ticking. But one thing you failed to do, do this, and you will prove to me that you don't. You see, what he's saying is that it's not wrong to be rich, he's not saying it's wrong to have possessions, but where is your heart? What are you clinging to? This man was unwilling to put the Son of God before lifestyle and possessions. You see, the question was a test. He's not saying if you become poor and you're in life, you'll go to heaven. It doesn't work like that. God looks on the heart. He looks on your heart. He looks for a heart that's humble and knows its need and turns to him. Whether you're rich, poor, middle class or whatever, makes no difference. It's academic, you know. What we need to understand, what that man needed to understand, that he was spiritually impoverished. And religion, and sincerity, and a good lifestyle, self-righteousness, I'm a nice person, I'm a good person, cuts no ice with God whatsoever. Because as nice and as good as you are, you will never be nice enough or good enough to impress God enough to allow you into heaven. That's going to come as an awful stark reality to the vast majority, sadly. This man's hot desire was not in the place of humility before God. It was not in the place of turning your back on these things, on the world and all it offers, and turning to God and what he offers. He loved what the world offered him and what Satan very subtly dangled in front of him and so many others around him today. He dangles these things in front of people and they grab it and they want it. But they're not prepared to give it up. And this man, he's like so many to them. Yep. Even churchgoers. They want a little bit of Jesus, perhaps not so much, but not too much. But they want a lot of the world. I'll have this. But let's not get OTT with this Jesus and Bible stuff, okay? I'll come once a week. I'll even put some money in the box for you. But let's not go OTT with this business. Fail to completely understand that a right standing with God is the state of the heart and an awareness of your need and your poverty, and for the riches of Christ to enter in, to make you rich in God's eyes and to be received into heaven. Millions and millions fail to understand that this morning. I failed to understand that till I was 16 and God placed his hand on me and said, "Hey chummy, things aren't right between you and me," and he brought to my attention my desperate need. And I had to surrender and confess all my sin, and he had to change my heart and life. And I've walked with him ever since. But there was a time when I didn't see any need of that. I was quite happy. I thought. And as Jesus then says in verse 23, as he turns to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. I think there could be perhaps a tone of heaviness here for the rich young man as he's walking away. How disappointing. But our Lord Jesus wanted the lesson for the disciples that they had seen in his dealings with this young man. He wanted this lesson to come home to the disciples. He wanted them to see that when it comes to responding to Jesus, the Son of God, it comes to when responding to God, the rich were at a definite disadvantage, for they had too much to lose, or so they think. To come under the blessing and the sway of the kingdom of God, to enter and become a member of the kingdom of God, be part of God's family and his children as an adopted child, requires total surrender, giving up on yourself and the world and all it dazzles, giving up on all that and seeing it for what it is, hopeless, useless, glitzy, rusting, canker, and looking for the eternal and everlasting and turning to God. It means surrendering all that, turning away from that. That's repentance, by the way. Giving up on all that and seeing and feeling and knowing your need for what is real and eternal and lasting and satisfying and gives you peace and security and joy deep down. No matter how successful you are in your job or your career, it won't do that for you. No matter how much you win in the lottery, it won't do that for you. No matter what holidays you go on or what properties you possess, it won't do that for you. No matter how big your family and how people love you, that won't do that for you. We need to learn that we have to totally surrender to God and to Jesus in particular, because he is God's appointed one. The underlying problem is that being under the authority and the rule of King Jesus means living as God requires. And that for many, that's not an option, like this rich man. The riches, the lifestyle, the possessions, the standard of living is what causes many, far too many, to totally take possession of them. How many people are here this morning? 30, 35? You go down the road to the mega church, some Tesco's, and it'll be packed out. Now, I'm not being cynical or patronising when I say that, but there's the proof, there's the evidence. No concern whatsoever, no awareness whatsoever, that the ease or so they think. In fact, if they examined themselves, and if they were actually honest, they would find and agree that they were ill at ease. They are not finding satisfaction or peace or joy. They have no certainty about heaven. But then you see they've been bamboozled by that fairy story evolution that God doesn't exist and we came out of green slime. Really? Nothing plus nothing equals everything. Even the mass doesn't add up, does it? So we fall into that lie, delusion of Satan, and we're all down there. Sad, pitiful. I'm not being patronising or cynical, but it would be laughable if it wasn't so tragic. And this is exactly what's happened to this young man. He likes what the world offers. He thinks he's self-righteous and religious. He wants to do things his way. He's been to Jesus. I've done that, Lord. I've done that. I've ticked all the boxes. What box am I ticked to inherit eternal life? So Jesus gives him that test. Well, if you really want to seek God and be in a relationship with me, his Son and Saviour, then give up on trusting in the world and surrender to me. And he can't do it. He's not prepared to do it. Too many, like this man, are trusting in the philosophers of life, the fairy stories of evolution and Big Bang and all the other science fiction that passes today for fact. They trust in their niceness, their self-righteousness, and we think it's all going to be alright on the night, wherever the night is. But of course it's that door at the end of that dark corridor which nobody wants to talk about, but somehow we think it's going to be alright. Really? What on earth are you basing that thinking on? This young man thinks he's going to be alright because he's religious, he's ticking all the boxes, and he thinks he's impressed God. But he walks away from Jesus. He walks away from the Saviour who's standing in front of him. Can you believe that? People say to me, show me God and I will believe. No, you won't. People walked away from Jesus Christ. Unless you're prepared to see and understand that you're in a desperate state and you need to give up on Satan's dangling carrots, the world and all that it offers, and throw yourself into God's arms and the mercy of Jesus, you will never see or understand. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be alright on the night. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Now, you thought you were going to come here this morning and hear a nice little word and smile, Jesus loves you. Well, I'm sorry. Because I love you so much and I'm so concerned about you, I'm going to have to tell you the truth. Alright? You need to know the bad news before you know what the good news is. Don't walk away like this young man. I don't know where he is today. He could be in hell. I don't know where he is. Don't be deluded by a false sense of security. Satan has got people comatose today. He's drip feeding them rubbish. Radio, TV, films, newspapers. He's feeding them rubbish. And we're buying into it all the time. Comatose. Dead men walking. Plunging off the edge of the cliff. Self-righteous, religious people, rich, middle class, poor, it matters not. They all walk away from Jesus every day of the week. And we read in verse 24. The disciples are astonished when he says this. They are astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? Jesus says to them, dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. Do you know that? It's not a case of smile, Jesus loves you, and I'll put my hand up or I'll sign a card, and you know, yeah, okay, I believe. It's not as easy as that. It needs a radical, complete, right to the core makeover and transformation. And for that to happen, you've got to give up on yourself, give up on the world, and throw yourself into the love and grace of Jesus and ask him to take control. And it doesn't happen because people aren't prepared to do that. Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, I'll tell you how hard it is, says Jesus. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person or a person who's trusting in their possessions or their lifestyle or whatever it is to enter the kingdom of heaven. Can you see yourself there? You're the one on the left. Without Jesus, you're never going to get through into the kingdom of heaven. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. Why were the disciples amazed, astounded? Because they still hadn't quite learnt the lesson that what is important to the world is not important to God. Do you get that? What do you think is nice and good enough and is going to do you some kind of good when you appear before God is of no relevance whatsoever to God. Maybe the disciples thought that riches enabled you to give generously to the synagogue or, you know, the local church and would give them a position of, you know, respectability in the synagogue or the church and make them more capable of being nice and earning points with God and would give them a decided advantage to get into heaven. There's plenty of churches and religious organisations will give you that line today. You can give how you like. Put the money in the coffers, post it off to the Vatican or wherever, and you've got a place in heaven. You're okay. It'll cost you 10,000 quid. Or whatever. Sorry if that's cynical, but it's cynical. There's plenty of churches and organisations like that. This man would have attended one such church, I dare say. Very sincere, very religious, but it does no good with God, and that would be a disastrous revelation on the last judgment day when you appear before him, because if Jesus Christ is not your saviour, if he doesn't step up to the plate for you, because in this life you surrendered to him and handed over all your sin and heart and life to him, if he doesn't step up to the plate for you before God, you're going to have to stand there before God on your own and try and justify yourself. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. God is so blinding, searingly holy that if you were to stand before him today, you would be vaporized as if you were standing before a nuclear bomb. And you really think you're going to appear before God and tell him a thing or two? Please, don't be a fool like this young man. I don't know where he is today. So even the disciples haven't quite got it. They haven't quite understood yet. It's not about the external. The externals come afterwards. When you've handed the heart and the life and the soul and all the sin over to Jesus Christ, as he comes in and replaces it all, you are transformed from the inside out, born again by God the Holy Spirit. Then the externals change. It's not the other way around. You're never going to satisfy and please God and get into heaven by externals. This is the point Jesus is making. Now you may not be rich like this man and have many possessions, but you can be self-satisfied and self-righteous. You can be middle class, you can be well off, you might not be so well off, but you know, you've got your TV, your mobile phone and all the rest of it. And you're quite satisfied with things as they are. Don't let your camels get in the way of finding Jesus. Whether your camels are riches, comfort, imagined security, self-righteousness, decency, whatever your idea of decency is, what the Lord Jesus is emphasizing is that entry to the kingdom of God is a state of heart and mind. It's a state of being. It's a state of transformation spiritually that happens. But it's difficult. You know, it's so simple, it requires giving up, and surrendering and serving to God. Simple. Oh no, it's difficult, because that requires people to swallow that pride, give up on themselves. It's simple, really. By the same token, it's extremely difficult. Jesus says so. It's not easy for anyone. And that's why so few people enter the kingdom of God. You see, the crucial word here is trusting in riches. It doesn't matter how rich you are, it doesn't matter where you are on the scale, you are trusting. You are trusting the world, you're trusting all the lies that Satan is drip feeding you, and you're buying into the lies. It's a false economy. Please, I beg you. And this is what Jesus says. Back in Matthew 7, he says this. You can enter God's kingdom. You become a Christian. You get to heaven. You become part of the family of God today. Only through the narrow gates. The highway to hell is broad. Oh yes, it's a motorway. And its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life, eternal life, life in God, life is satisfaction and joy and meaning and peace, that gateway is very narrow. And the road to it is difficult. And only a Jew ever find it. Why is that? Because only a Jew are looking for it. Only a few realise that there is another way. Only a few are dissatisfied with the motorway to hell. Which road are you on? The narrow pathway to Jesus? Are you going to stop? I mean, just stop for a minute. You're hurtling down this motorway to hell with the vast majority. You're quite self-satisfied and satisfied with all the lies and the seduction of the world and Satan who owns it. Just stop. Put the handbrake on, please. And just for now, pull into the labour and let's talk about it, shall we? Because while you're here in the lay-by, look to the left and you will see the narrow path, you will see Jesus and the gateway to life. Do you see it? Do you see the cross? Jesus is saying that for the rich, the self-satisfied, the self-righteous, it's virtually impossible. It was longer going to come through the eye of a needle. Because the self-satisfied find it hard to become like little children. Which is something we looked at just a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? You've got to become like a little child, says Jesus. And that doesn't mean to say you become stupid and silly. What it means is you've got to humble yourself. You've got to place your hand in God's hands and realise you can't cross the road of life without him. Like a child. And cling to him. And don't trust in yourself. Become like a child. Humble yourself. It's sad to say, even to this day, and I hope and pray you're not one of them, but sad to say to this day, people are still stumbling over their camels, their money, their comfort, their ease, their atheism, their evolution, their politics, their philosophy, anything. Anything, everything, rather than what God tells them in his word, the Bible. You mean you believe all that stuff? Well, yes I do, because God says this is my word. Well, nobody believes that anymore. No, they don't, do they? We've been this. We've arrived, utopia. Really? Take a look around you. And centuries and generations have tried to burn this book and persecute God's people. You go to the British Library and you go down to the basement and the archives and you will see miles and miles of books on philosophy and quasi-religion and all manner of ideas and ways of getting to God, and nobody remembers one of them or any of the writers. Dust, ready for the ash heap. But the book we've been trying to destroy for centuries. Hey, look, what have I got in my hand? The one book still stands. God's Word, life, light, hope. It's here. Divine revelation. You open this book, you open up God. You look into it with a humble heart, seeking God, and He will leap out from His pages and reach into your heart. Okay, look, this is pretty grim, isn't it? I mean, it's fucking pretty hard hitting so far. And it's pretty hard and it's impossible. So who then can begin to understand their desperate condition and their need? And who on earth can put the handbrake on, get over onto the laybar, and then start up the narrow path? Who on earth, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? Stop the world, I want to get off. Well, Jesus looked at his disciples and their astonishment, and he said, yeah, okay. With men, this is impossible. You can't do it. You can't reform yourself. You can't even realise that there's another road to go on because you've been swept along, like everybody else. But with God, this is possible. It is possible. If you just, but for a moment, understand your desperate need, and that Jesus Christ is the only answer, He will shelter you over. And that's why you're here this morning. He's sheltering you over. You thought it was a good idea to come here this morning? Who put the idea in your head? God did. He wanted you to hear this. He shoved you over onto the laybar. He says, right, now listen. Don't walk away like this, man. Don't let the camels in your life, wherever they are, prevent you getting to heaven. You see that path? The narrow path? The difficult path that few take? It's the way to life. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. You see, that's what he's looking for. The turning. The turning. You may not know many things, but you understand this. You are in a desperate place, and you need peace and forgiveness and salvation and joy and satisfaction, and you need to know for sure that you have the security and the assurance that there is a home for heaven in you, for you, and that the dark door at the end of the corridor is no longer a dark corridor for you, but it's all lit up and the door is wide open and you can see Jesus at the end of it, and you look forward to dying because it's living to be with Him. But you must go to the narrow gate, Jesus. Will you humble yourself? Will you pour out your heart and life to Him? Will you hand over your soul and your sin to Him? Will you invite Him in? Some of you know all the facts. I talk to you about these things, but you just don't seem to get it. You've got to surrender. You've got to invite Jesus in. He's got to come in. He's got to take away all the dross and the sin. He's got to give you a new heart, a new life. Cleansed, pure, acceptable, ready for heaven. And He wants to do that for you. Such love and grace is available for you. He astounds me, this God of the Bible, He astounds me. I mean, frankly, if I was God and I was looking at you, I wouldn't bother. Frankly, if I was God and I was looking at me, I wouldn't bother. You're a waste of time. You get it wrong all the time. You're rubbish. And even now, after I've been a Christian for 50 years, 50 years, you'd think I'd be perfect by now, wouldn't you? Far from it. And still I have to repent and come back to God, but still I find grace and love. You don't send me away, well, not you again. How many times have I got to tell you? He's so full of grace and love. He still receives me back. This is the loving Father He is. When you're in the family of God, this is the relationship. And he said, and then now, even when I get it wrong, he said, okay, Peter, you screwed up again. Let's sit down and go on for this again, shall we? For the 2 millionth time. But he doesn't remind me of the 2 millionth time, but I know it's the 2 millionth time, but he will sit down with me and go on for it again. Gracious, loving, merciful. Well, if you want to carry on with the world and Satan and be driven by him and his agenda, really? I mean, look around you. Really working, isn't it? Yeah, sure is. We kid ourselves, don't we? The emperor's clothes. Oh, the emperor's clothes, wonderful. Yeah, we'll do this, we'll do that. We'll try anything, do anything. Oh, it's wonderful. No, it's not. No, it's not. Don't be a fool for eternity, please. Now, you know your life. And you know what's getting in the way, okay? So, get rid of the camels, get down off the camel, get over to the laborer, let's pray to God, and let's start to the narrow gates, Jesus, and hand over everything to him, shall we? Let's do that, and let's do it now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you speak the truth in love. You do not fob us off with platitudes and a pat on the head. But we thank you too, Father, that in giving us your Son, you've shown us the way. There is a way. There is a narrow gate and a narrow path. But it is there and it can be found for those who seek it. We seek it now. Direct my foot. Direct my feet. Along the path to Jesus. I'm coming to you now, Lord Jesus. I'm coming to the gate. And I ask you to have mercy. And to forgive me. And change me. Take away my sinful heart. Make me right within. Make me right with you. I give up on the world. And all it offers. And I turn to Jesus. And all that he offers. Righteousness. Peace, a home in heaven. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I ask and pray today. Amen. Amen.